through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Welcome into Jake and Stacy. Joining us right now, executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. He's a draft analyst, former scout, knows everything there is to know about some of these young guys the Seahawks are going to have a shot at. It's Jim Nagy. Hey, Jim, how are you?
I'm good, Stacy. What's up, Jake?
What's up, Jim? How we doing, man?
We haven't talked to you since, what was it, the draft, maybe?
Yeah, it's been way too long.
Way too long.
You guys went dark on me. I see what it's like. You get to the draft process, the phone rings, and then the rest of the year I just go away.
No, exactly.
It's cool.
You know, I do want to talk about some of the picks, revisiting them a few months later. Before we do, though, can you tell me what's happening the latest with the NFL Combine? Because it's a bit different right now.
Yeah. They made the announcement earlier this week. They put the memo out to all the 32 teams that it's just going to be a different format. You know, the workout part is no longer. What they're trying to do right now is push back to April, buy themselves some time. And I believe just try to pull off the medical portion of the event, which is really why the Combine came into existence in the first place was for the medical evaluation. So I think what they're trying to do, either in Indianapolis, which is great. I mean, they've got that thing down to a science in Indy with the Indiana University Health Systems down there. It's a well-oiled machine. So, or they might try to regionalize it, from what I've heard, and just to reduce travel for some of the players and make it more drivable. If guys were more comfortable driving in, so yeah. So it's going to change the whole. It's going to change the whole spring. Usually, guys. It's, you know, you go to the combine, and there's almost 400 guys, and you get the medical evals, and you connect with teams, and you have the interviews, and now after the Senior Bowl is over, it might be Zoom calls for everybody. This spring's going to look a lot different.
Now, Jim, the Senior Bowl is still remaining intact, correct?
Correct.
So that is going to be huge. I mean, that's great news in terms of you guys and the Senior Bowl, but how valuable does that become for coaches now who will have the opportunity to gather some serious information that will become that much more valuable to them in this process?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have left the Seahawks to take this job if I wasn't a big believer in the Reese's Senior Bowl and the value that it adds. But definitely, in the year like we're in right now, it's probably more valuable than ever. You know, the East-West Shrine game canceled, the NFLPA game canceled. Those are the other two major all-star games, you know, and again, we're doing this because we know we can do it safely. It took a while to get there, a lot of research with, you know, guys at the college level and the NFL level and infectious disease people, like, can we pull this off? And once we came to the conclusion that we could, then it's been full speed ahead. But yeah, the guys are going to come into town on Saturday. They're going to get interviewed by all 32 teams, in-person interviews, with a lot of plexiglass. We had to order a lot of plexiglass this year. And then I never in a million years thought that part of the Senior Bowl job would be interviewing plexiglass salesmen. But here we are. And then we'll have practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and the game on Saturday. So it might be the only time in the process that these guys are seen by, you know, key decision makers. Like, I know the group that's coming from Seattle, are all the guys that are going to be down at the very end making these decisions, and then sitting face to face. So like I said, the rest of the spring might be Zoom calls, and mm-hmm. and the decision makers aren't going to be out crisscrossing the country going to pro days. I promise you that. So no. this is a big opportunity for our players.
Now, do you think that we're going to see, as a result, a noticeable change in the way teams are drafting? For instance, when you joined us last year, we talked about the possibility that teams go for guys from bigger schools or notable programs just because it felt like they could be more NFL ready. Do you expect a similar approach for teams this offseason?
All I can say is, like, guys like John Schneider and everything, they're on TV and they're, you know, kind of a celebrity and all that, but they're just guys at the end of the day, and that it's human nature to want to surround yourselves with people you're familiar with. Mm-hmm. So I do think that's an advantage for our players, that this might be the only exposure. This might be 130 guys in this draft class might be the only ones that get to meet the guys that are taking the names off the board in April. So I think our guys have an advantage that way because, again, these guys are going to feel them. And as a former scout, I can say this, but you know, I used to like tons of players and pound the table for guys like Jake. But the GMs want to pick guys that they've seen themselves and they feel a personal investment, and it's just human nature. So, I think you're going to see a lot of guys go, to the teams that they've connected with through the process.
Now, Jim, you talk about that. How important is that going to be for, you know, we all focus on Pete Carroll. We focus on the GM. We focus on the guys that are in the spotlight, but how important is the job? They're always important for scouts, but particularly this year when you talk about things potentially being regionalized and getting the lack of opportunities, how important is it going to be for these scouts to really do their due diligence in a year that is, I mean, extremely hard under their conditions to visit schools, see as many players as possible? What is that process going to be like, just talking to people that are tapped into that experience right now?
Yeah, I think the rich are going to get richer in the sense that the good scouting staffs are going to have a leg up in this thing. And Seattle's got a great one. And I'm not just saying that because I worked with those guys or I'm on in your market right now. No, those guys do an awesome job. The difference between last year and this year is last year, at least the scouts all had boots on the ground all fall on college campuses. This year, I mean, they really had a good handle on last year's group of players. This year they don't. This year they haven't been on college campuses except for Saturdays. You know, they were allowed to go to games and then watch them from the stands. They couldn't go to field level and connect with coaches on the field pregame. And they were on Zoom calls. And the schools were really gracious with our staff here at the Senior Bowl. We were on almost all of those school Zoom calls. And it was great. I mean, it was nice that they coordinated those things and put their people on their staff in front of the NFL. But it was pretty vanilla compared to what you even think about that. I mean, you're on a call with 70 people and you don't know if they're recording it or not, as opposed to a scout knocking on your door if you're the O-line coach and coming and ask, you know, shutting the door and going in one-on-one and asking you about how the offensive lineman learns football. So
right.
They do. The NFL feels very behind right now in terms of not just the play. They feel way more behind on the person than the player. They've had all the tape. They can digest all the tape and get that part of it figured out. What's going to be the harder part is figuring out who these guys are and what they're going to be with more money and more time on their hands and actually having to be a pro.
Hey, Jim, I want to get back to some of your initial predictions on the Seahawks draft picks. It's almost like you do this for a living. It's crazy. You knocked it out of the park on so many of these. I'll start with Jordan Brooks, who got what I thought was your highest compliment that you could pay a player, which was that it was really, really fun to watch him. He dealt with an injury for a little bit that kept him out of kind of the early part of the season for Seattle. Then he came back in and started to just kind of come into his own, especially in the last third of the season. I don't know how much you actually got to see from him, but how excited are you in general about what Jordan can bring the Seahawks franchise moving forward?
Yeah, I was a huge fan of Jordan last year. He's so fun to watch. And I know that I try to watch the Hawks every Sunday. That's the only really NFL that I watch. I think I might have missed one game this fall, but I try to watch those guys on TV. But as you guys know, it's way different watching TV than actually looking at the tape. And I haven't done that. But, you know, I think the frustration was that he didn't get on the field sooner because he was talented enough to come in right away and get it done. So I know talking to the guys up there, they're very excited about what Jordan Brooks is going to be because he showed it. You know, if you look at his per snap production over the second half of the year, it was off the charts. So now that the coaching staff got him out there and got him a bunch of reps, year two is looking really promising.
Yeah, one of the other guys that unfortunately we weren't able to see, but someone that you spoke very, very highly of and that the Seahawks front office has spoke very highly of is Daryl Taylor. And there was a little bit of a tease that, hey, if the Seahawks could have just kept playing, that Daryl Taylor could have maybe gotten his first snaps in an NFL game. But remind us all what the expectations or the ceiling is for Daryl Taylor, because I think people were discouraged by the fact that he was not able to play or practice for the majority of the year.
Yeah, sure. That's frustrating for a fan base. I understand that when you take a guy that high and you don't get him on the field the rookie year. We actually flagged Darryl for that injury here at the Senior Bowl. He was playing with like cracks in his tib fib or something in his lower leg where he left Mobile. We had held him out of practice down here, and he went through the week and then left Mobile and had to have the surgery afterwards. So it was a serious deal. But what he brings is he is what we used to call there, like, he's a Seahawk just from like his play style. He's violent, he's relentless, explosive. He can really get after the quarterback. So he would be a really exciting addition if they could get him back in the fold and get him healthy for 2021, because he can really bring heat off the edge, and he's really good at setting the edge as well. I mean, he's just a big, strong, combative, violent guy, and that's exactly what you want at that Leo position in that defense.
Jim, there was a tweet. I can't remember if you tweeted this out or if it was a reply to something, but people were talking about kind of John Schneider's draft picks and his history, this, that, and the other, and you had kind of referenced in and said, hey, if there is a lot that goes on in a draft room, from the opinions of a head coach, an owner, position coaches, coordinators, this, that, and the other, you can't necessarily judge completely and make every decision that falls on a GM. What is that process like to take all that information, particularly on like something like draft day, and find the right player, a Seahawk or a Texan, a guy that's going to be a Jaguar? What goes into that process to really figure out who is going to be that guy that they end up selecting in the draft? And how many times is there like truly a huge debate on each pick? I know it's a big question.
I think it's pretty widely known what a great relationship Pete and John have. And I can attest to that because, I saw it from behind the scenes, and it really is. It's a great relationship. But where John's at is there's a lot of balancing when you're sitting in that chair. You're trying to give everybody input on the scouting staff and the coaching staff. You're trying to make everyone feel valued. I mean, I've been in situations where you felt like you were just a hired hand, you were a hired gun, and you didn't really feel like your voice was heard. Like, John does an incredible job of making everyone in that building feel like their voice is being heard and they have input. And then you're balancing the staff. You got offensive staff coming in your office, lobbying for guys, and you got defensive staff members coming in lobbying for their guys. So, he's serving a lot of different people there. And the key thing is trying to find a middle ground, like bringing in guys that the scouting and the coaching can agree upon, right? And there's definitely give and take with that. So I'm sure there's players that, John has picked that were Pete's guys that Pete really wanted more. And, he's the head coach, and you want to keep him happy, and you want players there that he wants to coach. First of all, you can't give a coach players he doesn't want to spend time with. But then also bring in some guys you really believe in. So it's a balancing act. It's really tricky. And so to pin like every draft pick the Seattle Seahawks have made on John Schneider, I just don't agree with that at all.
Mm. Jim, the Senior Bowl kicks off in just 10 days, players reporting in just a few days. I think I saw you tweet 3 days from now. There are so many reasons to watch and be excited. Some players I'm personally excited to see, guys like Najee Harris. I know this isn't going to be something where, hey, Seahawks fans, here's who you're looking for to be, a draft pick, since you just never know at this time. But specifically for this Senior Bowl, what should fans be really excited about?
The offensive line group is loaded. My first year at the game, we had 5 offensive linemen go in the first round. And just on the North team that year, 9 of the 10 guys went in the first 3 rounds. And I really feel like this year's group is really close, if not maybe even a little bit better than that group. I think there's a bunch of rookie starters in that group. I know you guys got Damian Lewis last year out of the game, and there's some guys like him. I think that a guy like Deontay Brown from Alabama is going to, if you had Deontay Brown and Damian Lewis as your guards, I mean, Russell's going to have quite a pocket to step up into. I promise you that. Those two guys don't get moved. But, a guy right there in Seattle, Levi, you're going to help me with Levi's last name. He's coming to Mobile in 3 days, but I still don't get Levi's last name. Can you help me out?
Well, Jim, we still struggle with Levi's last name. So I apologize. We wish we could have it for you.
Awuzurike?
Awuzurike.
on Wuzurike. So, you know, Levi's a guy that if you're reading Twitter or the internet, you don't see his name in a lot of first round stuff. I think he's going to be right in the middle of that first round come April. I think he's a super, super talented player. You know, the receiver group's loaded again. Kadarius Toney from Florida is electric, and he's from here in Mobile, so he's a hometown boy. We're excited to get him back. And really, our running back crew is as good as any group that I can remember here in Mobile, with like Trey Sermon from Ohio State. You said Najee Harris, Ramondre Stevenson from Oklahoma, Michael Carter from North Carolina. So that's usually a hard group. Most of those really good, talented running backs jump as juniors. And all these guys stuck around for their senior year, so we were really fortunate to get them.
Jim, thanks for coming on with us, man. We really appreciate it. And trust me, we will be talking to you a lot through this process.
Yes, please join us for the draft stuff, Jim.
We hope we can entice you to come on many, many more times.
All right, Stacey, Jake, good to talk to you guys.
All right, thanks,
Jim.
All
right, Jim. We'll talk to you. All right, let's get to some NFL headlines. The Rams will hire Raheem Morris to fill their defensive coordinator vacancy. That is after former defensive coordinator Brandon Staley has left for the Chargers. Nice for him, though. He gets to stay in L.A., Jake.
Yeah, it is.
Easy move.
It is an easy move. Pretty easy. You pretty much work in the same building.
Pass each other at Starbucks. Ooh.
That's right. That's right.
Hey.
Hey, Sean, thanks for giving me that, giving me this opportunity. I think that when you look at Brandon Staley in this situation, Stacey, I think that when you look at what he was able to do with the Chargers, and then now what you're able to do with the Rams was special. But if you feel confident that Raheem Morris can step into your building and bring you the same thing that you were able to have once before, a guy who's a leader, a guy who's respected, that can get the players to buy into your scheme and system and utilize the talent that's there. Sean McVay has shown that he's got a great track record of hiring defensive coordinators and letting them take over and lead on that side of the ball. I'm very curious to see what Raheem Morris is going to be like. Is he going to try and stick with the cover four scheme that the Rams pretty much majored in this last year? Or is he going to change that up and he's going to run have a little bit more of a mix, cover three style? Because the thing is with Raheem Morris, you could look at it and say, oh, well, you know what's coming based off of what he did with the Atlanta Falcons. Not exactly, because Dan Quinn had a lot of influence over what that defense would look like in terms of it being a majority cover three, cover one style of defense. So I'm going to be curious to see what Raheem Morris does. Does he come in with that, or does he try to replicate what Brandon Staley was able to do this last year?
All right. In NFL championship game news, that's my breaking news banner. Patrick Mahomes is officially a full participant in practice this afternoon for the Chiefs. As of Monday, he had cleared certain steps but was still in concussion protocol. Looks like he's cleared that, because no way he's practicing if he's not. So it looks like you do have Mahomes playing this weekend versus Josh Allen, which, as much as I disagree with Colin Cowherd that they should move that game, it is a much better game with Mahomes in it. No offense, Chad Henne.
Shout out to Chad Henne, and I bet you Chad Henne is going,
yeah.
Thank goodness.
Chad Henne also like, all
right,
I agree.
Mahomes, I'm glad you're back, buddy.
Tell me about it.
I didn't have really a doubt that Mahomes was going to play in this game. Not from a competitive standpoint, that he would be able to find a way around the system and get himself to play and look at this tough guy, this, that, and the other. But the fact that there was such positive conversation about Mahomes pretty quickly after that concussion. It looked scary in the moment, and he certainly was concussed. But Patrick Mahomes, immediately later that Sunday, was reported, you know, feeling fine, feeling good, feeling ready to take the right steps. And so, fortunately for the Chiefs, it's been a positive buildup each and every single day for Mahomes to get to this point. And we as NFL fans, we benefit, right? I mean, we're all excited to watch that game.
Speaking of Philip Rivers, he announced his retirement from the NFL today. We've been having a conversation about his Hall of Fame status. Is he a first ballot Hall of Famer? Is he making it in? But another conversation about Philip Rivers, the top quarterbacks to never win a Super Bowl. Now, NFL.com's Adam Rank ranked the top quarterbacks to never win a Super Bowl. He has Philip Rivers coming in at number five. I'll give you one guess as to what number one is.
Dan Marino?
You are correct.
Yeah.
It is Dan Marino.
It's pretty obvious. Yeah. I mean, Dan Marino, without question, is the number one guy. I mean, that guy, in his heyday, what he was doing at that time in the NFL was absolutely incredible. I mean, you talk about one of the
5,000 yards,
one of the pure quarterback talents. I mean, not just of that generation, but just of all time. Dan Marino was special. Absolutely special.
Yeah, let's look at – so his stats, they listed his stats from that season. They said, watching Marino throw for 5,000 yards back then would be the equivalent of watching Matthew Stafford eclipse 7,500 in the modern NFL. He also tossed 48 touchdown passes and 84, the most in NFL history at the time. That's the thing, too, at the time. That's so key. Right now, it's not out of this world to see – how many did Manning have in 13? 55?
Yeah.
That is obviously phenomenal. And I know that you have quarterbacks eclipse 48 now, some of the best quarterbacks in the game. For 1984, that's not how offenses were set up.
No, I mean, and Russell Wilson, for what we've talked about him finishing the season like, he finished with 44. 40 touch. He finished with 44?
No, 42? Aaron Rodgers had 44. Just kidding, 40.
Yeah, so he had 40 touchdowns to finish the year,
yeah.
42. So, I mean, it's pretty impressive to see what Dan Marino was able to do at that time. The offense that they had, their spread system. I mean, you talk about going all in on your quarterback, Stacey. They went all in on trying to surround Dan Marino with a system that fit his skill set. But, yeah, I mean, you look at Rivers, one of those guys. To me, I don't look at Rivers' career and say, gosh, what a bummer that this guy didn't get to a Super Bowl like Dan Marino, wasn't able to win one, just for the simple fact that a lot of his playoff, a lot of the errors that happened in the playoffs were self-inflicted by him personally.
Another day, another head coaching vacancy is filled. The new Detroit Lions coach, it's Dan Campbell, who was the tight ends coach with the New Orleans Saints, also assistant head coach there. He signs a 6-year deal with Detroit, replacing Matt Patricia, who was fired back in November after less than 3 seasons. That was a failed experiment. It's weird. Speaking of Matt Stafford, will he go down as one of the better quarterbacks to never reach that much postseason success? And will that be because of the coaching staff, the OCs, the head coaches he's had to cycle through? Because he has, if you want to talk about one of the better arms in the league in recent years, it's got to be Matt Stafford is one of them.
Yeah, I mean, he's,
pure arms.
Yeah,
pure
but
power.
He's part of a very dysfunctional organization, yeah, that from a talent standpoint never has been able to really put it together.
No.
Right? I mean, just we talk about from a coaching staff to talent, it's never been there on a consistent basis, other than, ironically enough, when it was there with Caldwell and they said, you guys aren't taking it to the next level. We've been to the playoffs. We're having too much 10-win consistency here. We're getting stagnant. We're not okay with that. I mean, if you're the Detroit Lions, I would be more than okay with consistent 10-win seasons and early playoff exits, because that's not what you're accustomed to doing, but to each his own. But
it's better than consistent losses. I mean, that's just me.
But this experiment that the Detroit Lions are going under with Dan Campbell, I will be very interested to see, because this could change some of the outlook that you have with hiring head coaches. Dan Campbell is not an expert on the offense or defensive side of the ball. This guy is tagged as a leader. This guy is tagged as a motivator. And can Dan Campbell, along with the GM, hire the right staff to put in place where he can manage both sides of the ball and be that motivator, to be that culture builder? You've seen special teams coaches like John Harbaugh get elevated in different places and have success, mm-hmm, but you've never really seen somebody that's been pulled out of nowhere who isn't tagged as like a guru of one particular area of the ball, just as a motivator and just as a likable guy. That's a different approach.
Matt Stafford, how many Pro Bowls do you think he's been to in his career?
One.
Pro Bowls? It's got to be more than one. I would think maybe...
I'm guessing it's shocking. I'm going one.
Three or four?
I'm going zero.
One.
No!
He is Jay Cutler with better body language.
Wow.
That's it.
Dang it.
Wow. That's crazy.
You can't put him on any list of greatest quarterbacks to never win it. Now, if he's only made one Pro Bowl, no.
No. Not greatest quarterbacks, but talk about pure arm talent.
Sure, he's got a rocket for an arm. So
that guy
could
throw it like 70. Well, Jay Cutler also has like a cigarette hanging out of his mouth half the time.
That's why I said, not really. Matt Stafford is Jay Cutler with better body language.
Oh, man, that's such a hot take, and I think you might be right. Give me a minute to think of a disagreement. It'll come to me. All right. Do you trust the Seahawks to make the right OC hire? It's a debate we've been having all day. We want you guys to be part of it. Here's what I want you to do. Call us right now, 206-421-3776. Again, that number is 206-421-3776. We're jumping right back into that OC conversation. Do you trust the Seahawks to make the right hire? That's next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Do you trust the Seahawks to make the right OC hire? I mean, maybe you trust them implicitly. Maybe you don't trust them at all. But do you trust them to make the right OC hire? And maybe you have a certain definition of what the right hire is. We want to hear that, too. 206-421-3776. Call now. 206-421-3776. We got Christian in the 206 on line one. What's up, Christian?
Hey, what's up, you guys? How you guys doing?
We're good. We're good. So we want to know if you trust the Seahawks to make the right OC hire here.
Of course I trust the Seahawks to make the right OC hire here, guys. We're talking about the same Seahawks that have came in first or second place in the NFC West ever since 2011. I think 2011 we came in third. You guys have to trust the consistency of John Schneider. Even though he's had a couple drafts where he's missed, he definitely knows how to find the gems. Got to trust the coaching of Pete. And you have to trust, even though he's an old dog, you have to trust he's not the same old dog everybody else has. He's an old dog that we can teach new tricks.
That we can teach new tricks. Christian, I appreciate the call, man. And sometimes when we look at this hire, it is hard and everybody gets nervous about what's at stake or what this can lead to in terms of accomplishments. But Christian points out that, hey, this group has been a consistent winner, a consistent winner. They've always been a part of the conversation. And when you are always a part of the conversation, do you deserve the benefit of the doubt? I think Curtis Rogers, our own Curtis Rogers, pointing out that you have a history of Seattle offensive coaches that aren't necessarily in demand from the NFL, that there haven't been many coaches that have been, you know, plucked away from your staff or desired from your staff, I think is a little concerning. You want to be a group where you're producing great innovators, guys that are desired across the league because of what you're doing is special and unique. But I think, you know, Christian brings up a good point from a consistency standpoint. They have been able to find the right group to be able to keep them on that track.
Now, Christian, shout out to Christian. Thank you for calling in. Christian is not alone in saying, I absolutely trust the Seahawks. Someone else texting in and saying, oh, do I trust that the organization that drafted Russell Wilson and Bobby Wagner is going to make the right choice? Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say I trust them. However, a bit of a split on the text line, at least. The 360, no, they do not trust them. Pete will probably hire a yes man. The absolute perfect guy is sitting under their noses. Chris Peterson has the talent to pull it off. So that's one potential option there. I don't know if Chris Peterson is the way to go there, but
no.
I do think that there is a portion of people that think that Pete will not be willing to hire someone that is going to butt heads with him.
Well, I think it's a fair point. I think it's somebody that Pete Carroll has never really looked for, a guy that is going to stand up to him. I mean, you think about somebody like Kyle Shanahan, for example. Kyle Shanahan, even as a young offensive play caller, was very confident in himself. If you go back, there's a video, a dialogue between Mike Pettine and Kyle Shanahan, and Mike Pettine steps in on Kyle Shanahan's play call and says, hey, I don't think we should run this at the time. And Kyle Shanahan pretty much just gives him the death glare and is like, are you serious, bro? You're going to try and step in on my turf and tell me what to do? And Mike Pettine's like, yeah, go ahead and do your thing. And the play ends up being successful. Pete doesn't really want that kind of guy. And for Pete Carroll, from his perspective, you could understand that. That, hey, I have a vision. Your job is to execute my vision as the head coach of what we want, right? But on the flip side, if you're going to assemble a staff that you feel confident that's going to win Super Bowls and that is going to keep you one step ahead, you want guys that are confident in who they are and in their play calls and in their ability to put your team in the right position. And in some aspects, I do want a Kyle Shanahan, not necessarily someone that was young at the time and innovative, but somebody that is very confident in who they are and what they're doing and that their plan or their calls are going to work in the moment.
Okay, before we get to the next caller, I have to read this one from the text line. The 559, where's 559? If the Hawks hire Gase, Jake, I will burn every piece of Seahawks gear I have. That's an expensive decision.
Wow.
Then
yes.
Start rooting for the Texans. That's how bad that hire would be. Now, the good thing is that Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, the original person who reported that, joined us earlier today. In cut number two, he explains that those conversations with Gase have only been exploratory.
I don't think it's like a formal interview where they're at the final stages ready to get a deal done. I think Pete's talking to a lot of people. Gase happened to be one of them. So I would consider it exploratory in nature. See if there's they have a good vibe there.
Now, that to me was highly encouraging. The other thing that was highly encouraging was Jeremy Fowler also saying that he believes that everything at this point is exploratory, that they are not anywhere close to narrowing down their list. And from his perspective and his understanding from what he's hearing is that Pete Carroll is going to take his time. That is encouraging to me. That gives you time and opportunity to interview some of these other coaches around the league, other offensive coordinators that are currently in the league performing at a high level right now. But for those that are texting in or that have called and said, hey, I explicitly trust the Seahawks to make this decision. Mm-hmm. I don't want a 10-win season and an early exit in the playoffs. I want somebody that's going to come in here and help change this offense to the point where this is an offense that can be elite, Stacey. You said earlier in the show that this is about four teams right now that are in their conference championships that are offensive driven. They have
elite
offenses. Part of that is having elite play callers, elite systems to help elevate their quarterbacks and help take them to the next level. Yeah, everybody that's sitting there and saying that Russell Wilson has his flaws, yes, every quarterback has their flaws, even the great ones. They all have flaws. They all have limitations to some form or aspect. You know what great coaches do? They accentuate the strengths and they limit the flaws. And right now, as you sit here, the Seahawks have not been able to do that on a consistent basis over the last 5 years. They need to bring somebody in that's not just going to elevate Russell Wilson. That's a huge key piece to this, but that's going to elevate DK Metcalf. That's going to elevate Tyler Lockett. That's going to help this offensive line put them in a position where they don't have a game like the Rams where they're constantly being put in bad positions, asking them to protect against Aaron Donald and Leonard Floyd on deep play action passes and seven-step drops throughout the majority of the game. That isn't fair. And I think that that's something that I think that you have to critically look at.
Someone asking us, please stop mentioning Gase. Let's not speak it into existence. Word, agree with you. Text line split on where they trust the organization. Most popular choice for OC, by the way, on the text line, Nathaniel Hackett.
And
look at that.
Rightfully so.
Okay, so we're going to actually need you guys to switch gears. You guys have been fantastic with your opinions about whether or not you trust the organization, which direction you think they should go in, all of that. We're gonna need to change it up a little bit. We're going to go question form right now, because what do you need to know is next here. Here's how it's going to work. You're going to text a question, any question you want, into 710-710. That's the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. It's called What You Need to Know. So you're going to say, what I need to know is any question, anything you want. It could be personal. It could be about this team. It could be Mariners, Seahawks, whether or not Jake, I always say, likes pineapple on pizza. That's such a
it's
dumb
slanderous.
Question. It is slanderous. It
because
is accusatory,
not.
And it's not fair to you. And I apologize for that. It won't
Thank
happen
you.
Again. Not
Thank
on this show, Jake.
I appreciate that.
That's next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Rost.
Closing out the show with what you need to know. Here's how it works. You guys text any question you want, 710-710. What I need to know is blank. Then you ask us, and we'll answer it. So we'll go ahead and get started. Now, there is one about the Seahawks using picks on offensive linemen. Before I get to that, there's maybe the most important question I've seen today because it is a test of our friendship. This one for Curtis Rogers. Curtis,
I need
to know who babysits first, Jake or Stacy.
Wow. This is
who
among
decision.
Us has the most experience
it's
with
real,
children?
It's really not that
I
tough.
I was a child, and true. I was a baby girl. Were you guys? No.
No.
No,
but
I wasn't.
Who among us has at least 3-4 years of actually raising a child experience?
I have had a cat.
And I
have two cats.
Jake comes with help already in his wife, Brooke.
True.
Well, wait a minute. That's an unfair advantage.
Well, I'm just saying.
Brian is busy. My very real human boyfriend, Brian,
who's a NASA astronaut,
just because he's always busy.
Yeah, exactly.
He for sure would know how to babysit. So I have reinforcements too. It's going to be Jake, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's Jake. You're saying it's Jake?
Okay, definitely.
That's
100%.
So here's to the real question. Why don't the Seahawks use early picks on centers or guards? Well, that is a great question. But here's my second question for you guys. Guess which current offensive lineman the Seahawks used a second round pick on?
Center Ethan Posick.
Ding, 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 ding. So they have done it before. Also used a first round pick on Ifedi. I know he's a tackle, so I'll throw him out of there. But
then my favorite thing was is that they didn't use Ethan Posick, who they drafted at center, to play center. No, he played two guard positions. They even tried him out at tackle at one point. Yeah, I mean, it was a unique experiment. And heard Ray Roberts come on with Wyman and Bob later yesterday and was just talking about his frustration that the Seahawks have a history of not bringing in guys with PhD degrees, master degrees at their position, and letting them play that position. The one guy that they've gotten that right with for first time in a long time is Damian Lewis. Mm. Right guard, played right guard, knows exactly how to do it, and is playing it at a high level. Would love to see more of that.
Also out of LSU. Look at that. Look at that. I need to know, will the Mariners make a flashy trade or a big free agent pickup soon? So Jerry DePoto did his interview yesterday as part of the Mariners' ongoing virtual kind of like baseball bash where they're doing all these like Twitter takeovers and all kinds of fun stuff. And he said, well, I don't feel like we've been that quiet in free agency. I think to them, they're making moves. I'm not expecting a big flashy one because I don't think they're necessarily trying to contend this year. I think the hope is like if everything goes right, you're a wild card team. And if not, cool. The young guys develop. But they do still have moves to make. Like they've got to add to the bullpen. I don't think it's going to be an exciting addition.
Yeah, it's not going to be flashy. They're going to make moves, but it's not going to be flashy moves. Don't expect flashy moves until next offseason and the season after that. I mean, the Mariners are not in this position right now. They are very comfortable continuing to slow play this. They are not going to force this. They are not going to jump the gun. They are going to wait to see how their prospects develop and if they can show that they are ready. Once they show that they're ready to take that next step, that's when they will start to invest and not a second sooner.
I need to know, what's the best candy flavor? I'll tell you what it is. It's Twix bars. And Reese's Cups.
Flavor's different.
Okay,
from what?
Best candy. Well, it's best candy. I guess I inserted the word flavor, but the best candy. Did I say flavor?
You did.
I would say watermelon Sour Patch Kids. Ew. By far.
Have you had the new watermelon so Mountain Dew? It tastes exactly
Ew.
Like watermelon Sour Patch
really?
Kids. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I have not. I've got to try. I mean, I love Mountain Dew. I love a lot of
you
the flavors
like
that they
it,
have.
Then.
You think so?
You would absolutely like it.
Oh, man. Twix is definitely not the most...
Twix and Reese's
the best
are the
flavor.
Are the number... Well, first of all, chocolate peanut butter is a combination that cannot be beaten.
True.
Which is why Reese's Cups are the number one pick in the candy draft. But Twix would be my top five easily.
My top two, Reese's and Snickers.
Yeah.
I mean, those are my top two.
Snickers for me would be my number one pick. It's got everything you'd ever want.
It's true.
What does?
Snickers.
Ew.
Ew?
I don't like peanuts.
You don't like spaghetti. You don't like anything.
Like, seriously?
Like, I didn't say I don't like anything. I said I don't like spaghetti. I don't like peanuts.
Do you like water? Is that something you don't like?
I mean,
like?
If it's sparkling.
But I'd rather have, yeah, like, a stale, exactly, stale cookie wafer in my mouth. Eh, I'm okay. I'm all right with that. Do you like Skittles?
Yeah.
You do?
Okay. Yes.
I thought for sure you were going to say no.
No,
you just
I like
seem
Skittles.
Like a person that doesn't like
most things. And sour gummy worms. Sour gummy worms are good. Let's see. There was another Seahawks one. Where did I go? This one I'll leave to you because you mentioned someone today. Do the Seahawks? What I need to know, do the Seahawks make a move in free agency to acquire a guard? And who are you looking at if that's the move?
Oh, gosh. Yes. Yes, they do. At least I hope they do. If they don't make a serious move and acquire somebody that's of legitimate talent and has good veteran experience, I'm going to be very, very upset and confused, to be quite honest with you. But you've got Brandon Scherff. You've got Joe Thuney from, is it Thuney or Thuney?
I've heard Thuney.
I've heard many variations.
We all know
who you're talking about.
Yeah, I feel like I immediately, I don't know why, but I want to pronounce it with a lisp just because it's more fun. Thuney. But
like from Ibiza.
From Ibiza? From the 253.
But those two guys to me are the guys that I would love to go after.
Pro Football Reference says the pronunciation for it is Thuney.
Thuney?
Joe Thuney. Thuney.
Okay.
All right. That's fine.
Can't go wrong with them.
No. From the 253, what I want to know with Pete's philosophy on the run more game in 2021, is Chris Carson a for sure signing? No. I don't even know that he's a likely signing.
No, he's not a
first. But it's a great question, 253,
however,
because I was wondering the same.
However, I do believe that people are overestimating Chris Carson's market. I do not believe that Chris Carson, when it's all said and done, is going to be paid at the amount that we were initially thinking before the season ended. So I do think that he could be in a range that would be maybe slightly intriguing to the Seahawks, but I just believe that with some of the investments that they need to make, I don't know if they can necessarily afford Chris Carson, and that puts them in a very unique position where your running back group as of right now doesn't give you a ton of confidence.
The text line, not loving my taste in candy, and also having a very hard time with not liking peanuts and candy but being okay with peanut butter. They feel like very different flavors, right?
Well, and I saw that someone doesn't like the way you pronounce,
oh yeah,
Reese's.
Well, I try not to say Reese's.
Well, but then you do every time.
I know, but then I have to stop myself, so I end up saying Reese's. It's hard. How do you not
just
say...
kind of tail.
You don't say Reese's? Reese's? Everyone says
Reese's. Reese's Pieces.
Reese's. That's what it is. I don't know. What are we talking... We're all talking about the same thing. It's Reese's. All right. That's enough for me. That's done. We're done. He is Jake Heaps. I'm Stacey Ross. We'll be back tomorrow. Don't go anywhere. Wyman and Bob is next on 710 ESPN Seattle.